We read from Romans 4, verse 25. Jesus was handed over to death because of our trespasses and was raised to life because of our justification. For half a century, Paul Harvey was a radio newscaster with a distinctive voice and dramatic pausing and phrasing. He liked to tell little-known elements of well-known events and then say, "And now you know the rest of the story." Those 3 to 4 minute segments were so popular, Harvey began broadcasting them on their own as a daily series in May 1976. For over 30 years, the rest of the story consisted of true stories, by and large forgotten, often the name based on a variety of subjects. He'd always leave out some key element of the story, often the name of a well-known person, and then drop that at the last. The broadcast always concluded with a variation on the tagline, "And now you know the rest of the story." So why am I talking about this here today? Because yesterday was Ash Wednesday, as you know, the first day of Lent. During Lent, we pay particular attention to the suffering and death of Jesus Christ. In fact, in thousands of churches, a combined gospel account of Jesus' arrest, trials, and crucifixion will be read once again this year. But through it all, there's a question that keeps coming unbidden to our minds. How can we really do this? How can we focus all over again on what is so familiar? How can we go to dark Gethsemane and follow to the judgment hall, see Jesus arraigned and sentenced, and then climb Calvary's mournful mountain? How can the sorrow and affliction, the horror and pain, how can the depth of the darkness be truly real when we all know the rest of the story? Jesus was executed, crucified, put to death, but he didn't stay dead. His lifeless corpse was placed on a slab in a stone-cold tomb, but he came back to life and walked away from there. Jesus was handed over to death because of our trespasses and was raised to life because of our justification. This fact of facts, the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ, is so central, so key to the Christian faith that Lent's 40 days, through decades and centuries, never ever included the Sundays, because every Sunday is an anniversary of the day Jesus Christ rose from the dead. In the light of this tremendous truth, how can we really return to the Passion history? How can we go back to the upper room, to the dark shadows of Gethsemane, to the hall of stones where the Sanhedrin met, to Pilate's judgment seat, to the cross of the Christ on the place of the skull, when we've already heard the message from the messenger in the unbelievably white attire? "He is not here. He is risen." Let me tell you how to keep Lent, to truly walk in the footsteps of Jesus, to truly know the sorrow and the tribulation, the grief and the pain that was his, even though you know the rest of the story. Just remember this. What you hear from the Gospels is not just history. It is personal. It was your sin and mine that made all that Jesus underwent necessary. The words of the poet are oh so true. "My burden in your passion, Lord, you have borne for me. For it was my transgression that brought this woe on thee. Lent is about your sin and mine. That's why it's so personal, so real. But it's not about how bad we feel, how sorry we are. It's about how fully Jesus was committed, how completely he took our place, how he atoned for our sins. He was handed over to death because of our trespass, our guilt, and was raised to life because of our justification. We're the ones declared not guilty by his resurrection. The color of Lent is purple. Purple is known to people everywhere as the color of kings. Purple is the color of repentance to many Christians, and in both cases, the connection is by association. From ancient times, purple was the color of kings because only royalty could afford the costly dye used to put even one stripe of purple around the edge of a white toga, and only the imperial toga of the Roman emperor was dyed a solid purple. Because the king who was born to save us from the consequences of our sin did indeed pay for our sin guilt when he was nailed to a cross bearing the title King, because this King Jesus is our Savior from sin and death, we worship him rightly when we bow the knee with repentant hearts. In fact, the hymn writer states the matter accurately when he says, "Useless would be Jesus' passion if salvation you could fashion. If your own Savior you would be, you need no one die for thee." So during Advent, John the Baptizer prepared our hearts for Christmas by preaching repentance. And as Prof. Nauman pointed out yesterday, during Lent, the road to the cross of Christ is the path of sorrow over our sin. No wonder among Christians, purple, the color for both Advent and Lent, has become a color denoting repentance. We came to the cradle of the Christ child because the Father sent the Son to be our Savior from sin. We come to the cross of Jesus because we need the forgiveness of sin. And as Luther reminds us, where there is forgiveness of sin, there is life and salvation. Christmas, Easter, while they are historical, it's not chiefly about history. It's far more personal. It's about a gift from God to you. It's about Jesus, your Savior. It's about the forgiveness of sins. You can't get any more personal than that. We sing hymn 84, verses 5 and 6. 84, 5 and 6.